exception for irrespective of whether they're docketed or in city docket books or in judgment docket books, we're going to still show them as exceptions to title because they would still be liens against title. We're just trying to put them all in one single depository, make the system simpler.
Thank you.
I just would, you know, you're making the statutes, you're eliminating docketed and filed and put it in recorded, and your testimony, you use it interchangeably. So if you want the statutes to be, you're just thought I'd point that out. Okay, you have some testimony that you wanted to add?
My name is Wally Gutzler. I'm president of Capital Title Company here in Salem. I'm also the vice president of the Oregon Land Title Association. I'll try not to repeat anything that Mr. Magnus said. However, I would like to second everything he said. I think that it was generally clear. I think the confusion over the use of the word docketing and filing and recording is an attempt to try to relate the present law to what is being proposed in this bill, and it's a little difficult to go back and forth. We think the bill would make it simpler than it is now as a net result. I'd like to point out that we are regulated by both the real estate commissioner and the insurance commissioner. And when we talk about the benefits to the consumer, we cannot raise rates willy-nilly. Our title insurance rates are only raised after approval by the insurance commissioner. And that doesn't mean file and use. It means file and get approved and then use. And those rates are based upon our costs of doing business. So it's important to the consumer that our costs of doing business be kept down. It's not only important to us. I had a situation here in Marion County which I think points out the difficulty that a number of entities have with the present system, and it was costly to everybody involved, and not only the title company. In fact, my costs maybe were less than the other people involved. It was a situation in which, because of Marion County's overload, and I understand this is true in a lot of counties, it was not getting judgments docketed as soon as they were entered. A docket is when the law says it becomes a lien. This particular judgment for about $15,000 was signed by the judge and entered, but it was 3 months before it was docketed. In the interim, a transaction took place. As the net result of that, a long story over about 3 years, as a net result of that, Marion County paid $15,000 for its negligence in not getting that done sooner. And that kind of situation is going to proliferate until there is something done to make this a more specific type of lien arrangement. The recording makes it a specific time. Everybody would know before long who's involved in the business that you record what you want to have be made a lien, and you don't have to worry about the lapse of time. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions.
Okay, I don't know Marion County well enough to tell you or to know, but are the courthouse times, the times that the courts are open, the same as the time the recorder's office is open in the courthouse?
Yes, pretty much now. There have been times in the last several years when there were limited times, and we now have times that we have to take turns going to the courthouse for certain purposes. Title companies are limited to 30 minutes during which they can look up things. It's a matter of personnel. As Mr. Magnus said, when we go to the courthouse, or any consumer goes to the courthouse to look up something, rather than be able to just look and see if it's recorded, now the system is you have to find the file, determine what's in there, and that takes courthouse personnel time, which is money, public money.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Just for your information, we've had a couple of people request to testify at the next hearing that weren't able to respond to your amendments that came up today, so they'll be subsequent input too. Gary Holiday and BJ Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I'm B.J. Smith, and I'm with the League of Oregon Cities, and I guess I have the opportunity to be the first person to approach you to say that we oppose certain provisions of House Bill 2323. I'd just like to make some general statements. We do have with me today representative from the City of Albany, later representative from the City of Portland, and I've just provided you with a letter from the Mayor's Office in the City of Eugene. So I'll just make some general comments and say that we've looked at the city's issues in the proposed legislation, and that we do feel that there is really no justification or support for a statewide mandate that would require that cities record liens and other interests in real property in the county lien and county court records or county lien records. The reasons for our opposition really are two. One is duplication, that's the first one, and the second one is cost, and I'll come back to those two issues in a moment. The specific portions of the bill that we take exception to are sections 40 and 42, and there may be, I do not have at this point in time a thorough review from the City's Attorneys Association, but there may be some other specific smaller items in the bill.
And have you had a chance to look at the amendments?
I have not had a chance to look at the amendments. I've had just a quick conversation in the hall, and I do believe that some of what I might address right now may just be a little bit off from the amendments, that there are a couple of assumptions I made that the amendments may change.
Fine, and I'd encourage you to take a chance to look at them and then add to your comments.
We'd be very happy to do that, and I'll provide you with something in writing on that. First, many cities maintain a single lien docket to list a wide variety of liens on property. Some of those liens, of course, are what we conventionally think of in terms of Bancroft assessments, but there are also some very smaller liens, and the amount of money in question may not be that great. We think that the results of this proposed type of recordation are really a cost to the city and a duplication of staff efforts by city and county personnel. And it also introduces the potential that information transferred to the county by the city, if inaccurately or mistakenly duplicated, would result in the invalidation of a city's lien. Second point that I'd make is that the city lien docket is really continually changing, and assessments may be wholly or partially satisfied as time goes on. I might give you an example or two of really what a city lien docket might include, and I believe the City of Albany is going to address that a little more thoroughly, but if you look at the City of Hermiston, which is a fairly small city, there might be a couple of thousand existing LID liens and maybe 200 utility liens at any one time. Another example in the City of Springfield, the number of Bancroft assessment liens is around 11,000. I know that this bill does not look backward in time. It looks forward in time. But just assume those numbers to begin with. And if you assume that for Springfield, which has 11,000 liens, that you might incur a cost of $4, now possibly $5 for the lien, there may or may not be an indexing cost associated with that. Currently there is. You'd be looking at $7 per page in terms of total cost. First thing you do is file the lien, and then you also are going to be filing a notice that the lien has been satisfied at some point in time. So you've really got 7 times $11 times 2, or maybe a total dollar value here in Springfield of $154,000 to file those liens over time and remove them as appropriate. The issue that raises is how to finance those. And looking forward again, does the financing come from future general property taxes or special property taxes or from the individual owner, or is it expected that that comes from some magic pocket that the cities might be able to unfold? And that also doesn't speak to the administration of the program and the cost of the city personnel required to do that. Probably the third and maybe my last remark is another way of looking at the need for overhauling the system we have is to compare this burden of the cost shift. Individual cities could be asked to pay for thousands of recordings at the county, regardless of whether there are 2 or 200 property transactions searched over time. And I do think that represents a fairly substantial cost burden and cost shift. We've listened to the arguments, and we've certainly listened to the consumer protection arguments. We've tried to balance those, but I think that at least our position is that there really isn't at this point in time a good, sound reason for policy intervention at the state level, and that I'm not certain that the one or two particular problems that might exist or could exist by the numbers in the city lien docket procedure is necessarily eliminated or that in fact it might not just be transferred to the fact that those problems can again exist within in the county procedure for docketing. Questions?
Gary, do you have something to add?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add a couple things on it. So nothing would be nicer to have than to have one place where all liens against a piece of property would be recorded. So somebody go there and find that. I guess if you ask me if that's possible, I say no, it is not even possible to do that. Let me give you an example of that. If we were to place, the city were to place a $4,000 lien on your property for a street improvement, and you went to the county to get a payoff on that because you were transferring title of your property for sale, would you pay $4,000? No, you wouldn't. You'd pay $4,000 plus some other amount of interest, less the payments on it. So what happens? You still have to come back to the city to find out what the net effect of that payoff is. I mean, this does not eliminate that possibility on it. And we're talking about a multitude of different liens on it. We have sewer improvements, street improvements, sidewalk improvements, storm drains, street lights, water liens, water connections, water sewer connections, park facilities, and I can go on and on about those different types of liens, all of which, if any payment has been made on those, you have to come back to the city to find out what the net amount of those at the time of that property transfer it really is. We did a rough estimate from the city of Albany, just looking what the financial impact might be, and a very rough estimate would have been the initial cost of about $75,000, plus about a $30,000.
Tell me what the cost represents.
That represents a $4 filing
that's
fee.
That's not the $5.
I was using the $4 from the original text on that, plus about a $30,000 continuing on it. Now, what the city's also had the authority to do is levy a lien against property, particularly for delinquent sewer bills and for delinquent water bills, if they so choose in their ordinances on that. Now, we have well over 1,500 delinquent sewer bills that we now place a lien on the property and certify to the county, and they collect that on their tax records. We have that option. We can either have them collect on their tax record, or we just make it a lien against the property. We also have that authority to do that with water bills, delinquent water bills on it. We do not have the authority to certify water bills, however, to put on the tax rolls. Those can just be made a lien against the property. The other question is on just pending liens. We have people come in and request an improvement on their property, or a group of people normally come in and they petition for that. We go through a series of engineers' report, financial reports to see if that is even feasible. During that time, there is, in fact, a pending lien against that property. Do we file that? I think we have a responsibility to, or at least let it be known somewhere on it. 50% of the time, those never materialize. The project is never approved. And so we have spent a substantial amount of money for something that never even became a lien on the property itself on it. Something that now costs us nothing to do because we keep that on our record, but would cost a substantial amount of money if we were to transfer that over to the counties. Other ones that in the original bill limited the amount of liens to 10 years that they would have to be recorded. We now have liens on property from housing rehabilitation that go with a property and is only collectible when that property changes title. And that could be at the life of the owner. That might be 1 year, it might be 10 years, it might be 50 years on it. Again, we have to refile and keep track of those on our records now. We just keep it and we keep that as a permanent file on it. So those are some of the things that we are very seriously concerned with this bill. And the way it's presented, I personally think it's an impossible bill to live with on it.
Appreciate that. Tell me, I'm curious to find out whether the cities of maybe Eugene with Lane County and maybe Medford and Jackson County, perhaps you and your county or Portland and Multnomah County would have a bigger problem with this than the Pendletons and Umatilla County just because of sheer volume of activity and the transfer of information. Is that an accurate assumption or is that totally off base?
I think it's accurate in the sense of those cities that you named are the biggest cities in the state, and we of course have the biggest volume of transactions, and we have more street improvements, more sewer improvements, and so But still, the impact on our cities proportionally probably isn't any more than it is for the cities of Umatilla and Pendleton and Sile and Tangent or whoever it might be on it. So I think it's relevant on the size of it.
Mr. Chairman, I think the other issue, though, is the capability of the counties also to transition into this bill. And I think if you look at specifically some of those cities that you've talked about, Portland, Multnomah County, back and forth, it does suggest that there's a major transitioning where Portland may have a fully automated system at this point in time to work with the city lien docket, that now you're going to the counties and saying, does Klamath County have something equally as sophisticated as Klamath Falls? And you may be just, you know, moving from a fairly sophisticated or well-integrated computerized system to a county that may or may not yet have that capability. And the reverse is going to be true in other situations where cities do not have that capability, but the county does. There's really, everybody's not on parity.
Okay, thank you. A few questions?
Sure.
What is the priority of the tax lien? The tax liens that you have?
The tax liens had a first priority.
Right, so they even take over the first mortgagee and...
That's correct.
Correct.
And then city liens are second.
Okay. And that relates to what, taxes also, city taxes? Or does that relate to improvements? Or?
And relates to improvements or any other any other lien that might be associated with that.
Okay.
And then become the mortgage liens after that point.
One further question, a couple further questions, I could, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this bill does it, but wouldn't it be possible, if it doesn't, to amend the bill to require the person for whom the lien's filed against to bear the cost of the filing?
It could. I don't think, but what we're trying to say is that once a lien is filed, like the example I used, a street lien, it doesn't alleviate the title company or whoever's trying to clear title that to come back to the city to find out what the real lien amount is on that. So they're going to have to do it twice. They're going to have to go to the county and find out there's a lien, and then come back to the city and find out what the amount of that lien is. So it's duplicating the whole process.
That's taken care of in current practice. Anything else?
This is not quite as serious a question as some of the others, but I noticed on your prepared statement, among the many things that you list in terms of liens, services, improvements, etc., from cities, you also list Christmas lights. Can you tell me what that's about? I'm not familiar with liens for Christmas lights.
Sure. If you establish a district, usually a downtown district, that you want to buy Christmas lights for the Christmas decorations, and that those decorations, in fact, are shown as a benefit to the property or to the business, in this case, on it, you can place a lien against that business for the purchase of those and operation of those Christmas lights. And that is a court case that has been proven that it's a applicable deal.
I want to know the city that had the guts to do that.
Mr. Chairman,
was it you? I agreed, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bruce Lander? Bruce, you didn't sign up either for or against. Is
perhaps
there a purpose? Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bruce Loudon from the Oregon Department of Revenue. In the interim testimony that was given regarding this bill, the testimony indicated that there was not to be any change or effect on the warrants or judgments. Orders and warrants have the same force and effect as a current judgment does, and which does create a general lien against the taxpayer or against the debtor. What the amendment that we are proposing, I believe you have a copy. I delivered copies this morning.
You never got them. Later.
As on the bottom, prepared for the Department of Revenue, I delivered.
Mr. Chairman, to the best of my knowledge, we never received any amendments from the Department of Revenue.
I'm sorry, we don't have them.
Mr. Chair, we're a little bit of a disadvantage because we're not meeting in our normal meeting room, where if those have been received and are sitting somewhere, we might have been able to lay our hands on them. But,
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
I just happen to have four extra.
There you go. Leave it up to
Department of Revenue. Revenue always well prepared, yes.
As you can see, the amendments are short, and what the intent of the amendment is that we separate in Section 1, Line 21 of the bill, that a judgment lien shall be created against any real property. And what we want to do for clarification purposes, our tax attorneys advised us, is also state in sub B, the amendment to the bill, that a lien shall be created against all real property of the person named in an order or warrant as provided in ORS 203-125. So what this is doing is it's clearly stating that it also becomes a lien against for any tax warrants that we issue.
Okay, which would be current policy. You just...
That's correct. This is just a clarification of current policy.
Are you folks exempt from any requirement to pay a filing fee, or how would you be impacted if this were to require, I'm not sure if it does, if this were to require you folks to file a document noting that lien?
Representative Springer, any of our tax liens that we file, we pay the recording and release fees. So we pay the same fee that any private citizen would when they record a paid judgment.
You've heard some comment, I believe, about some fiscal impact. Can you give me any idea of the volume in terms of orders or warrants that you're talking about?
The current volume that the department issues is about 12,000 warrants per year.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you. Oh, excuse me, Council.
These warrants and liens, sir, they relate to income tax or other taxes?
They relate to any tax program that the department administers. They could be income tax, they could be timber tax, they could be corporation tax, any of the various tax programs that the Department of Revenue administers.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought income tax liens were filed with the Secretary of State, are they?
No, they're not.
They're not. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and I'd appreciate it if you, if there's copies of the proposed amendments available, you might want to look those over too for other effects, if you haven't had a chance to see them.
I have not.
Okay, thank you very much. Barbara Clark?
Mr. Chairman, I am Barbara Clark, Auditor of the City of Portland. With me is Sandra Lobenthal, my deputy. The City of Portland opposes House Bill 2323. I feel this bill's implications are costly, redundant, and inefficient for the City of Portland and its taxpayers for the following reasons. First, added cost to the taxpayers. Recording all city liens would cost us $93,000 per year for the new liens and payment activities that we process. Second, we believe it is unnecessary. The title insurance companies are the biggest users of this information. They already have direct online computer access at their own offices to our liens records, and our records are updated daily. The third reason is data quality. The county lien searches would be less current than our computer system. Therefore, we anticipate an increase in telephone calls from title companies if House Bill 2323 passes. They now call us about 500 times a year for closing out final payments. In conclusion, the system that we now have provides speed, accuracy, the ability to search through a variety of routes, and some information on liens in process. None of this would be available from the county. I urge you to reject House Bill 2323.
Thank you, Barbara. I take it your fiscal impacts were judged on the $4 versus the $5 fee increase.
That's correct.
So, safe to assume at least more money. Okay. Questions? Have you had a chance to look at the amendments?
Yes, we have, and we don't feel that the amendments address the problems that we have with this proposal.
Okay. Thank you very much. Carl Stryker.
members of the committee. My name is Carl Secker. I'm a deputy district attorney in Marion County and here today representing the Oregon District Attorneys Association in opposition to House Bill 2323. District attorneys throughout the state of Oregon enforce both child support cases and also benefit from the imposition of a lien on felony filings. To deal with the first issue of felony filings, the lien arises from the commission of the crime, and this also involves, it's for all costs and disbursements in the case, ultimately any fines, including, of course, indigent defense costs. So the amount of lien on these 15,000 plus annual felony filings can be substantial. And the bill does not speak as to who has the responsibility for the lien. I don't know if that resides with the court administrator's office, the office that would represent indigent defense board, or whether it would fall to the district attorneys. That's not clear. As to the secondary issue, and that being one of child support enforcement, there are 55,000 cases currently residing on the Oregon Department of Human Resources Adult and Family Services records. Those files are computerized, they're continually updated, and by virtue of ORS 25650, title companies already have access to this direct information, and I am advised by personnel of AFS that that information is solicited daily. So on a quite a large volume. I know in Marion County alone, we often recoup at least a large arrearage judgment by virtue of the lien effect against the real property located in Marion County on a continuing basis at least four times per year. In the last 4 months, we had a recovery on one case exceeding $30,000 in owed child support arrearages from the sale of real property. It's substantial. The information is available through DHR and other electronic medium, and obviously the other opponents of the bill have directed their testimony to the advantages of having centralized inquiry. Under the bill, we have to go to 36 different counties. Presently, title companies only have to go to DHR at one location. As to the fees, we would ask that if the bill does receive favorable treatment, we would point out that support obligees are often people that have suffered financial prejudice already, and to impose a further fee against the obligee for the necessary recordation, say, of a satisfaction, is onerous. It's unconscionable. We have circumstances where obligees have not received a dime of support and they might get a direct payment, and yet they'd be called upon to come down to the county clerk's office and file a satisfaction. This information, again, available through DHR, and by statute presently, DHR records those satisfactions. They are often filed duplicately by order of satisfaction in the circuit court and also with DHR, so the information is abundantly available. I would point out that there are two other bills that affect this area. Senate Bill 209 is directly related because it seeks to have all divorce decrees paid, all support orders hereafter entered on the DHR records. So there, again, would be the centralized filing not only for the district attorney and Department of Justice support enforcement cases, but also for the other cases, all the private cases that are out there as well. Secondly, there's Senate Bill 211, which does, in this area, extends the lien effect on support judgments. And I think we've heard testimony that support judgments are certainly one of the more troublesome ones that the county, that the title companies face. Certainly, this information would be available that much more readily.
Carl, are those bills in at the request of the Department of Justice?
Yes, they are.
Do you know if they've had any hearings or going?
Yes, I believe they have had hearings. They're scheduled for a work session in April before Senate Judiciary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So they're moving anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't know if I have anything further. Any questions from committee I'd entertain?
Representative Springer?
Carl, I used to do a little support enforcement when I was a deputy DA up in Multnomah County. Back in the history, but tell me what impact or my understanding that the state of Oregon, when it's providing public assistance, also takes an assignment of a custodial parent's right to go after the obligation that is due by the non-custodial parent when there is a support order. And I assume that the state very vigorously, at least I'm aware, very vigorously goes out and tries to enforce those obligations, tries to collect. What impact would this have on the state in terms of when it steps into the role of the person to whom the obligation is owed in those situations?
I have a copy, I'm not authorized to speak for, but I have a copy of the Support Enforcement Division's legislative impact statement, and they were at apparently the $4 rate, I don't know for sure, were indicating that there would be a $56,000 biennium fiscal impact on the Support Enforcement Division.